Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Former President Trump spoke before the Libertarian National Convention in Washington, D.C. this weekend, making this promise if elected.
I will put a Libertarian in my cabinet and also Libertarians in senior posts.
Trump's speech, which was met with a mixed response. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the leading third party candidate, spoke before the convention on Friday. Four people were stabbed at a movie theater in Braintree, Massachusetts, Saturday night, according to police. These eyewitnesses described what they saw.
It's getting to be afraid to go anywhere.
There were a lot of kids coming out in a daze looking like they just saw a horror movie instead of a kid's movie.
The four victims are in the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Police say they have the suspect in custody. Memorial Day holiday travel is in full swing, with the TSA saying it's expecting to see more than 18 million people go through airport security before Wednesday. This is ABC News. On their way to Haiti, a Kenyan peacekeeping force that, after three missionaries, including two Americans, were killed by gang members in Haiti on Thursday. ABC's Christiane Cardeno has more.
Kenya's President William Ruto says his country's peacekeeping police force is expected to arrive in Haiti as part of a UN-backed security force in about 3 weeks to try and help quell the growing gang violence.
I think we have the best chance to deal with the gangs and to secure Haiti once and for all.
No African country has ever led a security mission outside the continent.
Richard Sherman has died, and while you might not know his name, you almost certainly know his music. Richard Sherman and his late brother Robert are best known for the songs they wrote for Disney classics like Mary Poppins, The Jungle Book, even theme park songs like It's a Small World. Richard Sherman was 95. I'm Mike Dubusky, ABC News.
This Memorial Weekend, we pause to remember the brave souls who gave everything for our freedom. Their courage and selflessness will forever be etched in our hearts and in the fabric of our nation. Their legacy of bravery and dedication will continue to inspire us for generations to come. For those who gave their all for us, we are forever grateful. Brought to you by the Squeegee Squad, your neighborhood window cleaner. Learn about their services and story at squeegeesquad.com or give them a call at 715-255-0770.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
Hi, I'm Smokey Bear, and I made an assistant to help you out, because only you can prevent wildfires.
Hey, Assistant Smokey Bear, call me Papa Bear, because I'm grilling up dinner. Do you get it?
Yes, good job.
So, what should I do with all these coals?
Don't just toss them out. Put them in a metal container, because those embers can start a wildfire.
I understand. The stakes are high.
Ha, 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 ha.
Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
4 Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. Avian flu is jumping from birds to dairy cattle around the country. So far, it's not turned up in Wisconsin, but experts are being vigilant. Mike Moan has more.
Bird flu has been detected in dairy cows in several other states. And in Texas, a man is known to have become ill with bird flu last month after contact with infected dairy cattle. And that worries Andrew Pecos with the Johns Hopkins School of Public Health.
Given that dairy farms have a large number of people who can come in contact with infected cows, there is an increased chance of the H5N1 virus also directly infecting humans and beginning that process of adapting to replication and spread within humans themselves.
He says the risk to the general public is still very low, but the U.S. should improve its response to new and emerging infections to minimize the chance of another pandemic. The U.S. Department of Agriculture recently announced it will pay dairy farms with confirmed avian flu infections to help contain the virus's spread to people and more cows. In Texas, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention confirmed the virus killed a dozen cats who drank raw cow's milk. Megan Davis, also with Johns Hopkins, believes it's safe to eat poultry and drink milk, with one exception.
Raw milk and raw milk products may not undergo the same processes to inactivate the virus. And so I have very large concerns about the safety of raw milk.
To date, federal officials only mandate testing for dairy cows moving between states. Wisconsin has long embraced its reputation as a milk-producing state In most rankings, it only trails California in this category. This is Mike Mullen for Wisconsin News Connection. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see some shower chances for today. There could be some heavy rainfall at spots. Otherwise, we'll see highs in the lower 60s. Southeast winds will turn to the northeast. Tonight, skies will turn mostly clear, lows dropping to the upper 40s. Right now, it's 55.
John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Enjoy the holiday. On Tuesday's show, Johnny's back, and we'll feature Ariel Perez from the Green Bay Press-Gazette, Malane Wells from WFRV-TV, plus we'll be talking the Green Bay Rockers. See you then.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 till 9.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt and Air on Air.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Good day to be indigenous. Get up, stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, didn't cut it, dude.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake. Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade. Hey, Karagi, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot. Hey, we discuss local and national Native news and events, and as you know, Chujunk, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega, and this portion of the show is supported by Native Woods Radio Network on Patreon.
I popped up the applause there. I hope you heard that, because I love doing the show with you, Haley, my Chujunk here, because I'm right once a day.
Oh, right. What? Yeah, I know, and you're right about that, too.
That's funny. Hey, so we, as sports fanatics ourselves, and I'm not such a big basketball fan. I haven't been since probably 20 years ago when they were last in the playoffs.
Right.
They have really a good run going here, and what a game last night. Wendy and I were like, wow, this is really exciting.
I know. Yeah, that might have been the like full Wolf game that I've probably watched my entire life.
You're more of a hockey, baseball, football person, right? Not in that
kind
order.
Of. Yeah, you know, and it's like I will go out and say I've totally hopped on the bandwagon. I ran after the bandwagon on this one.
Yeah.
And here I am rooting for the Timberwolves.
Yeah, I have to go find my old jersey. I have a jersey from probably the 89 or 90 when they first got here. You know, what's interesting, we talked a little bit about before the show, and, you know, the states, the teams called the Minnesota Timberwolves, and our Republican relatives want to kill them all their Timberwolves up here. So it's kind of a bizarre thing to have a sports team named after this, and maybe half the fans wanting to kill Timberwolves.
I know. It's very... Yeah, I think just like, I don't know, like the word is like
oxymoron.
Yeah, kind of something like that. Right. Because we talk about Howling for Wolves, one of our really great. Yeah. Who amazing longtime sponsors with Dr. Maureen Hackett leading that, you know, amazing group. And it's like we just had Wolf Day at the Capitol where we went and talked to our senators, our representatives, asking them to, like, you know, help vote to save our Minnesota wolf populations. And for those, you know, maybe who don't know, Minnesota is the only state in the lower continental United States where we've always had a wolf population, and they've never left.
Yeah. Well, you know, the oxymoron thing for me too is like, you know, we've been fighting mascots that are derogatory towards Native people too, and here we celebrate wolves here. Or we always talk about our lieutenant governors and the wolf clan, like we're in the eagle clan, and there's 11 clans and 12 clans in the Ho-Chunk Nation, and they're very similar in other tribal nations across Turtle Island. But we have the Blackhawks, we had the Redskins, which was just mind-blowing that team. And, you know, Cleveland kind of took it upon themselves, maybe saw the writing on the wall and changed their name and that goofy mascot to the Guardians now. But we still have the chop with the Kansas City Chiefs. And mm-hmm. I know the networks don't show that, but you can definitely hear it in the background. And mm-hmm. it's disgusting. And there's other mm-hmm. sports teams out there, too. So it's bizarre that we have the Timberwolves and, you know, like half the legislative population wants to, you know, kill them all.
Right. Yeah, it's very... I don't know. It's confusing. But anyways, hopefully we can, you know, spread the word with, you know, how well our Minnesota basketball team, the Minnesota Timberwolves, are doing, and kind of bring awareness around our wolf population. Because, you know, it's like, you know, you hear about the Timberwolves and everyone's going to wear the wolf on their jersey or whatever, however you're going to represent the Timberwolves. But then it's like, how could you support them but then not support our wolf population?
Big question out there. Everyone should be pondering listening to this show. Really, it's mind-blowing. Hey, you know, I want to talk a little bit about our guests today. We have Wendy with the sacred animal portion, which is awesome. But we have somebody that I've looked up to for many, many years. And there's she's the main character in a documentary called it's called Warrior Women. And it's the history stories of Madonna Thunderhawk from the 70s till today. And that came out in 2018. And I've gotten to see and hang out with 2 years ago on the 50th anniversary of the Wounded Knee occupation. I got to hang out with her and her family and the people from the Warrior Woman Project during that 4 or 5 days I was down there, and just had a lot of hoots and a lot of fun things. But she's the real deal, and she's, you know, I think she's like 82 now, or 83 or 84, it says on Wikipedia, which she has a big Wikipedia page. And she's doing great. I saw her like 4 years ago when she was 80 or 79 on a horse at the Wounded Knee anniversary celebration. But let me just give you a couple little tastes here. You know, Thunderhawk is part of the Red Power movement from 69 to 71 that occupied Alcatraz. And for people that don't know about that history, there's a federal law in there that any federal land that's not occupied for a certain length of time, like the prison Alcatraz Island, would be given back to the tribe. So they took it over and wanted to turn it into an area of learning. And but the Red Power movement, which was the precursor to the American Indian movement, led that occupation. She was also involved with two occupations of Mount Rushmore at the Black Hills. And, you know, talking about the 1868 Treaty of Fort Lemire, and really fighting that on. She established We Will Remember Survival School for Indian Youth. Of course, she was a big part of the American Indian movement when they took over Wounded Knee. And one of the things was she had to be low-key about it because she had been in a court situation from last actions that she was involved with. So she was low-key. She was one of the medics. And as we know, some people died at the occupation of Wounded Knee, and she was there for that. Also, you know, just recently, Dakota Access Pipeline, the No Dapple movement, she was there the whole time, got to meet her there. We're just totally blessed to have these warriors still with us, Haley, that I love history, and she is history.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's, wow, yeah. She is history, and for 82, she's looking really good. Madonna, you know, as like any young activist, like not even a Native activist, but just being like a younger person who has looked up to Madonna and other matriarch leaders such as herself. Yeah, I mean, she's really paved the way for a lot of this work, for us to even be here, really. And it's just amazing that she's still here so we can, you know, ask how she would like to see things move forward in the future with our younger generations coming up and carrying the way.
Yeah, and Marcella Gilbert, her daughter, is always with her now. And she was young. She's roughly the same age as I am, maybe just a little older or younger. But she grew up in this whole movement, and they're still they're still trying to help our young ones. And I know they're still, it's in the forefront of their mind, and it always has been. And that's been a part of their act, you know, being, you know, active and all these things over the years is because of our children. And it'll be fun to listen to from her and talk to her. And I, you know, she does pretty well. She's kind of a technology, and she needs her daughter to set her up, but we're excited. We're going to have her up next. Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Sometimes our healthcare system can feel impersonal. Who can help my healthcare team understand what is important to me? Who can connect me with community services and health resources?
Community health representatives can. Community health representatives, or CHRs, live and work in our community, so they understand your unique health needs and can break down the barriers that get between you and the quality care you deserve. Want to learn more? See all the good community health representatives do at dhs.wisconsin.gov/CHR.
I'm Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I learned about atrial fibrillation the hard way. My symptoms would come and go, shortness of breath, fatigue. I kept going. Then I got so lightheaded, I couldn't. My doctor said I have AFib, so I'm about 5 times more likely to have a stroke. Other symptoms, irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, can come and go, but the risk of stroke stays. If you have symptoms, tell a doctor. Visit notimetowait.com.
Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Wow, am I excited to have this guest on today, Madonna Thunderhawk, who is an original OG. When we talk about OGs, we talk about Madonna Thunderhawk. I just want to give a quick bio here, just an overview for our listening audience out there in Indian country and all over Turtle Island. Madonna has been with the Red Power movement and with the occupation of Alcatraz in 1969 to 1971, American Indian movement, survival schools, the wounded, she was at Wounded Knee, but she was very low key in Wounded Knee. Well, we can maybe talk about that in a little bit. And then a lot of other things, you know, all the way up to line 3 here. And, you know, we're at Standing Rock, we're doing all those things. And Madonna, thank you so, so much for coming on Native Roots Radio.
Wow, thank you for having me. Good to see you.
Yes, really good to see you. I know there's so much stuff going on right now, and you know it's got to be hard to take as you've been an activist for so long to take 2 steps back and 3 forward sometimes, it seems like. But I just get chills when I talk to you because of all the great work that you and your family have done over the years, and you are the original OG. So thank you, Pini Gigis, thank you so much for being on again.
Well, I'm here. I'm still hanging in there.
So there's a lot going on now. And how does that make you feel when we see all these things like what's happening in Palestine, what's happening in North and South Dakota with the governors and with the laws. Tell us how are you getting along with this?
Well, you know, with me, it's just like continuation, you know, of events mm-hmm. or happenings. The issues never change for us, you know. You know, the local tribal politics is, you know, basically the same issues, but things that, you know, things happen, things move along. The state, we, in the past, we were always, you know, didn't have much to do with the state politics or state government. And as I remember back in the day, they were the enemy camp, you know. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, there's politics changes, you know. We have a governor now, and she's kind of, I mean, you're taking the whole Trump thing, MAGA and all that, you know, she's part of that. So, but that's just one of the things that we have to deal with, you know, as Indian people nationwide, you know, it's just politics of this country, the United States. So to me, that's the way I look at it. It's just a continuation. So nothing surprises me. Nothing's a heavy duty. You know, to me, it's all a battle, you know. It's all, mm-hmm. the war is long, you know, and the battles vary.
Right, exactly. You know, with the governor of South Dakota, there's reservations that are doing the right thing and banning her. You know, Christie's yeah. likes killing dogs for no reason, and I guess horses too. And I just have to put tobacco out for you guys all the time. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's that old frontier mentality, you know, that the colonizers, the, you know, mentality, settler mentality, you know, it never changes. You know, time changes, but a lot of that mentality just sticks, you know.
Well, it's kind of like the 60s and 70s when you first started doing activism, that the right wing and really have no filter, and they say whatever they want. And then we had a period of time where they went underground, but then after Trump became president, they all seem really bold and to say all their racist stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's them, you know. That's again the settler mentality, you know. Colonizers, you know, how else are they gonna think, you know? My attention and my focus has always been with our people, you know, our people nationwide, you know, and how we're still all in resistance and still existing. Yeah. So that's the focus I've maintained over the years. And that's why people, especially younger people, I do interviews with college students and stuff, Native young people, they want to know, what did you do? Why did you become an activist? What happened? You know? And to me, I look back and I think that's the difference in thinking, you know, from one era, generation to the next. It's, in my day, it was kind of like an obligation. I mean, that's how we looked at it, you know. And you do what you can on whatever degree you can, you know. You don't mm-hmm. all have to be on the front lines at all. You know, it's however you're living your life, raising children and doing the best you can. That's resistance, the way, you know, we look at it back in the day, you know. So, yeah, that, you know, so to me, the issue is still the same. It's just how each, you know, era, each generation handles it, you know, what they do.
You know,
I'm glad that I'm still here to see.
Yeah, you've seen a lot of good things and a lot of bad things, I imagine. One of the things I really hold on deeply, dearly, with conversations I've had with you in the past, is I always asked you, how did you get so much done? And you always said there was less people making decisions. And my job's in Native government, and I can see that in black and white, because nothing gets done, it seems like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then any work you're going to do and get involved in, to me, it's always helped to just, you know, keep it as simple as possible. And if it's community, if your work is community based, that takes care of a lot of the, you know, the distractions or the turmoil that comes along a lot of times, you know. Community organizing is, you know, to me, is important, the best mover, because it's community first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that's what really helps. Things.
So what excites you now? I mean, you know, your grandkids, your daughter's really involved. I've met your son. You know, you guys are the OGs, and really we need to listen to you. And I'm so happy that you're on the show again.
Well, you know, I guess I'm just kind of used to my family. I mean, you know, we all know what's expected. You know, it's expected of us as a family. So, and the younger ones that were raised that way anyway. So it's just kind of like normal situation, you know, to be involved and to be doing things. But my excitement, I think, for me personally, is to see what's happening in Indian country and how our people are reacting to things. Not just tribal governments, but the people in general. Mm-hmm. You know, for example, what's going on with our tribal chairman's associations, etc. You know, and the organization Indian Collective. You know, those younger people have just been a part of for example, the Black Hills whole issue. Mm-hmm. You know, a land back. You know. And they're mm-hmm. helping to organize and to move ahead what the tribal councils have been treaty councils have been trying to do for the past, you know, 40, 50 years, you know,
right.
is to get something real going. And now with the help of the organizing and financial backing of Indian Collective, we're able to put together legislation. For mm-hmm. the national legislation for the return of the Black Hills, you know. So
right.
that's a major for me.
Yeah, and that's awesome. And if people don't know that are listening, that they tried to pay for the Black Hills, and the money was rejected, and because we can't give away our sacred lands like that. And that's exciting to hear, Madonna.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's good. So, you know, as elders, you know, we all go when they have the meetings, we're invited, and, you know, we go and we sit in and listen, and they always ask our opinion. You know, these young people are dynamic, you know, Indian Collective are just amazing. You know, that's what I always tell them, you know, that's what this is what we wanted back in the day. This is what we were fighting for, you know, for our people to be aware and to make a stand, you know, on whatever level. And that's exactly what's going on. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah. They've been supporting a lot of organizations monetarily and grant wise. And those guys, those brothers that started it originally are doers. They were, I saw them July 4th a few years ago when Trump was president. That was awesome. That was all over Facebook Live and YouTube, and mm-hmm. they're doers.
Yep, they grew up in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, Madonna, we're going to take a break here in a minute, but I want to just remind you, was it 4 years ago I saw you down at Wounded Knee? For that celebration, and you were on a horse, and I'm going, that's crazy. It's crazy. I got a picture of it. You're a true warrior, and we're going to take a quick break and talk a little bit about the documentary about warrior women, and really just to relax and have a good time here with you.
Okay, good enough.
Right on. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and we're here with the original OG, Madonna Thunderhawk. We'll be right back after this short break.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. Former President Trump spoke before the Libertarian National Convention in Washington, D.C. this weekend, making this promise if elected.
I will put a libertarian in my cabinet and also libertarians in senior posts.
Trump's speech, which was met with a mixed response, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the leading third-party candidate, spoke before the convention on Friday. Four people were stabbed at a movie theater in Braintree, Massachusetts, Saturday night. According to police, these eyewitnesses described what they saw.
It's getting to be you're afraid to go anywhere.
There were a lot of kids coming out in a daze looking like they just saw a horror movie instead of a kid's movie.
The four victims are in the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. Police say they have the suspect in custody. Memorial Day holiday travel is in full swing, with the TSA saying it's expecting to see more than 18 million people go through airport security before Wednesday. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
A series win in Boston. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from Fenway Park in Boston, where the Brewers beat the Red Sox again, this time 6-3. Joey Ortiz with a two-run double in the third to kick off a five-run rally. And for the second day in a row, the Brewers used Jared Koenig as a starter for just the first or second inning. Lefty against left-handed batters in the Red Sox lineup. How rare is that? Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
I think it happens a lot. You know, a starter gives you a good start and a reliever comes in and gives you an inning and a third. We just did it reverse. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's like a magical plan that it's, everybody has kind of the same plan, you know. Using an opener is not anything new.
The Brewers had a no-hitter going with Colin Ray until the seventh, so they win the series, game three today at Fenway. Then they return back to Milwaukee, where they take on the Cubs for a four-game series beginning on Monday, Memorial Day. The final, 6-3, Brewers over the Red Sox. From Fenway Park, Boston, with sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. We'll see some shower chances for today. There could be some heavy rainfall at spots. Otherwise, we'll see highs in the lower 60s. Southeast winds will turn to the northeast. Tonight, skies will turn mostly clear. Lows dropping to the upper 40s. Currently 56 degrees.
1, 2, 3.
What you doing?
4, 5, 6. Counting the first place awards from the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association.
WISS in Oshkosh for the best promo. WAUK in Waukesha, best Maggie Dawn show web story. WMDX in Madison, best web story about the Max Inc. radio show. And WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids for best show, interview, and promo.
Informed, entertained, connected.
And winning.
Your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
Do you have a loved one in a nursing home? California mega millionaire Eric Hovde has some bad news for you. He doesn't think they have long to live. It's true. In a recent interview, Hovde said, if you're in a nursing home, you only have a 5-6 month life expectancy. Almost nobody in a nursing home is at a point to vote. That's shocking. But it gets worse. One of Hovde's companies is named a co-defendant in a wrongful death suit from an incident at a California senior living facility. He even referred to himself as an expert in the nursing home business. Yikes, that doesn't sound like the kind of expert we need. Call Eric Hovde at his California office, 714-730-4444. Tell him that Wisconsin seniors deserve to vote and get the care they deserve. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together Incorporated.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Dollar driver. It takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or ticket.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time for a special Memorial Day show as we have on Jeremy Lyon from the Department of Veterans Affairs and looking back at Gold Star families.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to
Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition. We're here with Madonna Thunderhawk, the one and only legend here with us. And Madonna, I just have this question that, you know, I'm burning to ask you. We talk about the younger generations coming up as activists, and, you know, I'm a Gen Zer, so kind of fresh out of college, and we're talking about people who maybe have been raised in the culture, in the Native culture, and grown up with their elders. And but like myself, you know, I feel like we're kind of, in our family at least, trying to bring the culture back and a lot of the stuff that we've lost. What kind of advice do you have, or what would you like to continue seeing this next generation of Natives and Gen Zers in their work of activism?
Well, you know, sometimes I think about that, you know, about how things are done nowadays, you know, in comparison to where we were at in our day, you know. And of course, times change, you know, the issues remain, but it's, you know, a different generation. So it, I was thinking about that, and I noticed that in today, in modern day now, it seems like the activism is more event, you know, oriented, rather than the good old community organizing. I mean, you know, the community, you know, going to community meetings, practically door-to-door stuff, you know, that's how we, you know, did things back in the day. You know, of course, the communications were different, you know. We didn't have the cell phones and all that, so I think this generation kind of depends on that now. Mm-hmm. You know, depends on social media more than real interactive, you know. So I noticed that, you know, I say, well, first thing, you know, an issue comes up, you know, well, let's have a meeting to plan an event, you know, and I'm like, wait a minute, you know. But again, it's not my generation, you know. So you know, as elders, we have to kind of listen and, you know, and pay attention and support.
Absolutely. And I know in your day, there wasn't a lot of activists wearing ribbon skirts because it was hard to run with those on.
Yeah.
We give them extra, absolutely, extra leg room.
Yeah, we wore the shirts, you know, because we were all on foot. A lot of barricades, you know.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, definitely. So that's kind of. That's kind of a different era too. I mean, we see beautiful ribbon skirts, but we kind of joked about that last time we saw each other. It's like, oh, it's hard to run in those away from the police.
That's so funny, because I know now, like, I always add extra leg room in my ribbon skirt or the one I just made, and then I know friends who give a couple inches, because they always say it's a joke too, just in case you got to run, pull your skirt up a little bit.
Well, and now they get pockets in them, Madonna, and that was never a thing. And pockets are handy.
Mm-hmm. Well, actually, we didn't wear them, you know. So, I think it's cool, you know. They look mm-hmm. good. Everybody looks good, you know. And it's kind of a signature, you know. Everybody's wearing them, so that's good, you know. But separation. Between activism and, you know, and how things are done nowadays, nobody's on barricades anymore these days, you know. It doesn't happen that way, you know. So skirts are fine, you know.
Oh, I want to get a ribbon. I want to get ribbon jeans, you know. I've seen a few people wearing those. How would I look in those? Oh,
really? That's cool.
Yeah, so how is, you know, Warrior Women and the Warrior Women Project, I know you're heavily involved in, and there's a great documentary out there about some of the work that you've done and the people you've worked with over the years. What's going on with the Warrior Women Project?
Well, right now, we're working on getting the matriarch portion of, you know, the like we did the documentary. But the mm-hmm. the main thing is all the interviews and the foundation of the work that went on. You know, that affects what's going on today. It's always been the what the matriarchs did, and you know, and so that we're working with getting curriculum written up, that type of thing, you know, for schools, for mm-hmm. for organizations, whatever media, but also for mainly for the educational system, you know, so that because those women were history makers, you know,
yeah,
and thankfully, we have the interviews, you know, so we can do something with them. So that's kind of what Warrior Women Project is doing right now.
Well, what's exciting, Haley and Madonna, is what I've learned over the years with the Warrior Women Project is that all these things that you hear historical were run by the women. And mm-hmm. That's one thing that sometimes slips through the fingers because you see, like, with Wounded Knee, you had a couple people as spokespeople in the front and that the media kind of fell in love with, but the real work was happening behind the scenes, right, Madonna?
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a traditional thing. It's a cultural thing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So the camp was the domain of the women, you know, and matriarchal domain. So it's just, you know, it's filtered down to today. That's the way it is, you know. So it's not an issue with, you know, men, women, whatever, who should be talking, who should be women. And organizing is work. So that kind of mm-hmm. tells you right there, right out, you know. Organizing takes a lot of work. Also, naturally, it's a domain of matriarchy, you know. That's where it started and that's where it still is. So, but that's all right, you know, because we, you know, we're always looking at the results, you know, what's it all for, you know, so it doesn't matter how we get there and who's got the mic or who doesn't, you know, let's get the work done and let's get the issue taken care of.
That's what
I like about Indian Collective. The young people, the Indian Collective, that's the way they are, you know, it's good mixture of young men and women, and they're dynamic, you know. I'm just so proud of them.
Yeah, that's why I like talking to you, to remind us in a good way and remind our listeners how things are and have been and will be. And I really appreciate you bringing that up. You know, what would you like to be remembered as or by? How would you like people to remember you?
I want to be remembered for following the footsteps of our ancestors, what they sacrificed and everything, so we could be here, you know, and that I tried, you know, I tried to do something. I didn't just sit back, you know. Yeah.
Well, you have done something.
Honor
our ancestors, and you have done something. And I think what I'll always remember of you and your family and your daughter and everyone around you is how fun we always have when we see each other.
I know. That's a good part. That's a good part.
Natives have that great sense of humor.
And I think it's just kind of natural among our people, you know, whatever, it doesn't matter what, you know, native nation you're from, what tribe, you know, that humor is what keeps us together, you know, because mm-hmm. you go anywhere, and you know, in conferences or gatherings or celebrations, you know, it's always the humor that you start out right away. That's how you make friends, you know, and mm-hmm. wherever you go in Indian country.
Yeah.
Part of our survival tactics.
Exactly. you know, and that's one of the good things that's been handed down in our family and everyone in Indian country. And so we're always kind of curious when you see somebody that's Native and not and it doesn't have a sense of humor. You go, oh, I got to stay away from this person. Bad medicine.
True.
Well, Madonna, what else would you like to talk about? We have like a minute left, and I know Indian Collective is really big on your mind, and also the Black Hills. What can you tell us, any update about the Black Hills, where that's at? And it sounds like Indian Collective is working on that land back.
Yeah, well, the legislation is being formed, you know, the meetings, the big meeting they held, you know, months back, I think in February anyway, you know, committees were formed, and it was just organized and moving along. You know, it wasn't just a bunch of elders and concerned people sitting around talking about the issue. You know, with the help of the Indian Collective, it's organized and moving ahead, and the legislation is being written and being put together so that we can, you know, go to Congress, you know, and it's so strong because the Black Hills is part of the 1868 treaty, you know, and how there is no title anywhere for that land. Mm-hmm. The state doesn't have it. The feds don't have it. The colony, nobody has it except us. The 1868 treaty, which was ratified by Congress, so it makes it the law of the land. So with this legislation, it's a reminder that the U.S. government needs to obey their own laws.
Absolutely.
And that the Black Hills, you know, we're talking about the federal land, you know, so you know how the non-natives get scared right away. They're still scared of us, you know, because of the land, you know. They, do they want to take my car, my home, my this, my that? We don't want what you have. It's grief,
right.
You know. We're talking the federal lands entitled, you know, so you won't be paying county taxes anymore. You may be paying to the Ochete Chacoin, you know.
Mm-hmm. Well, Madonna,
it's hard for them.
Yeah, it really is. Madonna, I just want to say a big peeny geeky thank you so much for being on Native Roots Radio. It's great to see you and great to see your daughter there helping out. And let's talk really soon.
Yeah.
All right.
Glad to be here. You take care, man.
Ho. Stay strong. All right. You stay strong, too.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Are you and your family weather ready? I'm Terry Barr, producer of the Slice of Wisconsin series. Wisconsin weather is ever-changing, and all of us with Civic Media believe awareness can make a difference. Our weather-ready stories will offer the information you need. Here's meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Don't forget your sunscreen. It's true. You should be protecting your skin year-round, even in Wisconsin. But did you know spring is actually the peak time that you're at risk for getting a sunburn? Here's why. UV rays are more intense in the spring, even before temperatures warm up. And second, it's all due to the angle of the sun. UV radiation strengthens as the sun reaches a more direct angle. This happens throughout May and into June, leading up to the summer solstice on June 21st. A good reminder to be sunny weather ready, even if there's still some springtime cool outside. So slap that sunscreen on. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl! Hey, producer Haley Cherry with you now. I want to quickly introduce Wendy Pilot with a brand new Sacred Animals segment. Go ahead and take it away, Wendy.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you, Haley. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. You know, I get a lot of phone calls and messages about where to adopt animals, or how could I help? And a lot of people think that the Humane Society of the United States adopts out cats and dogs and other animals, but they don't. What we actually do is we work on laws, and we lobby at our legislator, and I go to our Minnesota state capitol, and I talk to my city council member, I talk to my House representative, I talk to my senators, and we present humane laws that we want to have in place here in Minnesota. And this goes on all over the United States, because there are humane policy volunteer leaders for the Humane Society of the United States all over the country. So if this is something that you're interested in doing, and it's a lot of fun, sometimes it's heartbreaking because you don't always get what you want, because it's politics, right? But it's a lot of fun. It's very rewarding. You work with a lot of like-minded people. Like, for instance, in my neighborhood, there's a lot of people who care about animals, and I have a friend in my district, and we go to the state capitol often a lot together and present these laws and ordinances that we want to have put in place. So a lot of times when a bill is put in front of a legislator or a House representative to vote on, they don't really know much about it. So our job is to just educate them and say, we want your support on this bill, or we want you not to support this bill because of these reasons. So that's our job. So the Humane Society of the United States, it's confusing because you have your local Humane Society that does adopt out pets, right? And you can go there to the shelter to get your furry friend, your furry animal. You know, it's funny. I'm going to change the subject here, but the other day, Robert was texting me. He was outside in the front of the house, and I'm going to try to look something up right now. But he was like, Wendy, there's this really friendly kitty cat out in the front. And Robert was picking him up and holding him, and he was such a friendly, nice cat. Oh, I got it right here. So anyway, his name is Goliath. He was a big orange and white cat, really, really super friendly. And he had a little tag around his neck that said that he's an indoor-outdoor cat. The tag is a little bit worn off, so I couldn't read everything, but I took a picture of it because I wanted to look at the phone number on his tag, because I wanted to just call his owner to let him know, let the owner know that Goliath was at our house, and he was kind of laying on our front stoop and was kind of like rolling around, you know how cats do, kind of like rubbing his back and whatever. And I noticed that he still had his parts. I'm just going to say that. I noticed that Goliath still had his parts. So what I want to do is hope that Goliath comes back, because what I want to do is I want to call the owner and ask if Goliath could get neutered, because this is kitten season right now. And if there's another person out there that has a female cat and decided that, you know, spaying her was not an option, or for whatever reason, to please do that. And I don't know how I would do that without getting into an argument, but I do have a lot of facts here that I could share. So a fertile female cat can give birth 4 to 5 times a year. That's a lot. Each litter averages between 4 and 6 kittens. And just 2 weeks after giving birth, female cats can go into heat again. So this is a cycle that can really, produce a lot of cats. So, and we have enough cats in the shelters, right? Right now in the United States, the last statistics that I heard was each person in the United States, not families or households, each person has to have 7 cats each to combat the homeless cat population in the United States. And each person in the United States has to have 4 dogs each to combat the homeless dog population in the United States. So if you don't want 7 cats and you don't want 4 dogs each, we really need to, neuter and spay every animal to combat this. Kittens can get pregnant as young as 4 months old. So around 1,000 cats are euthanized each year because there's just not enough people to take care of these animals. So I just want to ask everyone to spay and neuter your cat. I'm going to try to get in touch with, I'm hoping the cat comes back because I don't have a good picture of his tag with the phone number on it. So I want to get that phone number. I just want to give the owner a call and just say, your cat's been over our house. He's super cute and super friendly. But there's a lot of controversy out there as well as to should cats be just house cats or should cats go outside? Now, I think if your cat goes outside, it should be supervised and maybe have a bell or something on its collar to alert birds, because cats kill a lot of birds every year. They also kill other wildlife. We saw Goliath looking at our chipmunk. We have a chipmunk that lives under our stoop, so maybe that's why he comes over. He wants to get our little chippy. So we'll see if Goliath comes back, and we will ask the owner to please have him neutered, if I saw what I saw correctly, because I don't really look at a lot of cats' private parts, but it looked like Goliath needed a little snip, if you know what I mean. So anyway, with that, Robert and Haley, back to you. And please spay and neuter all your animals. Bob Barker used to say that when he did The Price is Right. So back to you guys.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Wendy. Always really great, helpful information that I knew nothing about. So really appreciate that. Big, big peanut gigi. This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be back tomorrow. We need to resist, divest, join a group, run for office, let them sing, and let them drum, and free Leonard Peltier now.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on air.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Monday's Best of Up North News Radio, having to bail are fast-growing lawns, and how people who differ on abortion can have civil conversations.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings starting at 6.
As a federally licensed broadcast company, this civic media station is required by FCC regulations to accept advertising by all qualified candidates for federal office. We also accept ads from state and local candidates. We do screen announcements from issue groups and PACs and exercise discretion in airing announcements with blatantly false claims or outrageous, unfounded statements. These announcements do not necessarily reflect the views of civic media, its hosts, or advertisers, and the source of all issue announcements can be found online at our FCC public file.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Mike Dubusky. At least five people are now confirmed dead after a tornado touched down near Valley View, Texas last night. Cook County Sheriff Ray Sappington had this message for residents in the area as cleanup and recovery efforts continue.
Plenty of first responders out here. It would really help if people just stayed away right now.
Four people are recovering in the hospital after a stabbing incident at a movie theater in Braintree, Massachusetts.
They were in a daze, needless to say, very traumatized, and definitely wanted to have their privacy head down.